I just have one thing to say. Hang on here.
It's really
spooky. The man's on fucking back. So, bitch! This looks like on top of me. So, everybody, just follow me. Does it feel so empty without
back? So, back. So, back. So, I tell you what, if I had the talent of any one of these people, I'd be elected president by acclamation. Thank you.
Like every Monday night, you are checking out Breakfast Super Raw.
Bon appetit! As Don, Tony, and Mish dish out their opinions about the world of pro wrestling, sports, news, and pop culture. Breakfast Soup Raw.
And now, your host, Mish and Don Tony.
Bomb Squad, pretty cool shirt. Got it from Brian Clark, a.k.a. Adam Bomb, Wrath. Much love, my friend. If any of you out there want to be a member of the Bomb Squad as well, Pro Wrestling Tee Store has them on sale. I didn't have to pay for mine. It was a very nice gift, beautiful gesture by Brian Clark, who is tuning in tonight. And all of you as well. This is Breakfast Soup Raw, and I'm not alone this week. Join along with me is
Anthony Missionary Thomas. What's going on, DT? Amazing shirt. I actually changed out my Bella's picture.
Oh, you're going to have to. I'm sorry, Mish. You're going to have to take that one down. I'm not kidding because, and I'm being totally honest with you, this is a little note that he sent me, and he said, he doesn't know if he has a shirt for someone who is 6'8", 375. So I got a shirt, and he gave me this for you.
Oh, that is, goddamn, that's awesome.
It's fucking awesome, man. That's for you, my friend. I waited to the show to surprise you. I tell you, the colors are outstanding.
That. Yeah, that's fucking amazing.
I'm telling you, the only way I could explain it is, you know that really green goop? Remember that green goop? That. It's like green.
Right.
That's what this looks like. It's that beautiful green. It's awesome, man.
That is really cool, man.
I'm telling you, the colors are really vibrant, and Tom Fleming is the artist that drew that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wow. So you got to DM me your address again so I could get that get your micro brawler out tomorrow.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Much Thank love, you, Brian. Much love. Yeah. Much love to all of you as well.
Wow. I love that thing already. I don't even have it yet. And I can already, I'm not taking that down. I'm going to make a new spot up on the wall for sure.
Absolutely. All right, listen, tonight, as we explained like 2 weeks ago, you know, going forward, there's really absolutely zero reason to spend an hour recapping a show that we all watched already. Getting into some highlights, maybe commenting about Chad Gable and T-Bar, and maybe a little bit at the beginning, you know, just giving an overall of Raw. We focus more on news than anything else. And because of the changes that are going to be coming soon, you know, we're tightening up the shows a little bit. But, you know, a new show may be debuting soon. And it might be on a Sunday. And it might be in an afternoon. And it might be the sit-down. If anybody knows about the Mob, you know, they have sit-downs. So it's going to feature just live calls. For all of you out there that always want to call into the show, and it's very difficult. We realize how difficult it is to fit it on the shows that we do because we spend so much time talking and everything else. We're going to dedicate an episode strictly for telephone calls. Nothing else but telephone calls. So that's going to start probably next week. So more details. But we have to open up with something that I know quite a few of you are going to be tuning in for to get the 411 on. And sure, there are a lot of people out there that do not like this person. I get it. There's a lot of people out there that really do care about this person. And I have had nothing but pleasant experiences with Tammy Sitch over the years. And I am privileged to be friends with a lot of her close friends as well. And, yeah, I was talking to a few of her friends tonight, one in particular who was very close with her, very, very concerned about Tammy Sitch. And I'm putting this out there because once some of these reporters on social media see what we talked about, what I wrote, they get a race. They're going to claim exclusive news. They're going to, all they're going to do is go on the court websites and try to search where did this happen. And then once they get that from the court case, then they'll say, oh, exclusive information. Here's the deal. Last week, Tammy Sitch was at an autograph signing. I might say looking pretty damn good, hanging out with Rockin' Robin, Judy Martin, Wendy Richter, and Leilani Kai, along with Medusa. You know, she's looking like, hey, you know, she's turning her life around, getting a second chance. This is a picture of her from about 10 days ago, dropped a little bit of weight. As Mish has said before, making about 10 G's on OnlyFans per month. I mean, you know, second chance, third chance, fourth chance. Well, unfortunately, making 10 grand a month doesn't override a serious disease that is alcoholism. Add a relationship that has become toxic, and it is a recipe for disaster. And that is what happened. Tammy Sitch has had a relapse, and a terrible one. She violated her restraining order. She got into a very bad physical altercation. I don't know how far I could or should be going with this publicly because no one else has this. And I'm not doing it as exclusive, but I'm putting it here so at least you know more of the humanity side of it. But she is currently in the hospital. Her condition was so serious that she was in ICU. The alcohol has returned. The bad relationship has returned. And this time around, she could end up getting thrown in jail for a really, really, really long time. As of right now, I think she's not scheduled to go to court or be arraigned until maybe the 1st or 2nd of December. But, you know, like I said, I understand Tammy is the brunt of a lot of jokes online. I repeat, I have had nothing but great, you know, experiences, talking to her, stories, you know, just friendship, not serious, close, but over the years. And I feel for her. And I know firsthand because my friend's father, you know, became very, very physically violent when it came to alcohol. Alcoholism, for some people, it takes over your body. And this is a disease that I know Jeff Jarrett fights every day. I know others fight every day. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are seriously fearing for this woman's life. Not saying anything with the S word, but I'm just saying that, you know, how many chances do you get? You're talking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Well, and not even just that, but she reinvented herself. Look, that's a thing that a lot of wrestling veterans don't get a chance to do, is to reinvent their wrestling personas and do something with it that makes them money. Now, obviously, she was considered a very sexual diva, especially in the 90s, and she reinvented herself. OnlyFans was a platform that she went on there. She tried porn with, I think it was, what was it, Vivid? Was that what?
Yeah, Vivid Entertainment. I think it was.
Right. So she worked with Vivid, and from there she went to OnlyFans, and she made a ton of money in OnlyFans.
Yeah.
A ton of money. From personal videos to doing, you know, porn scenes with her boyfriend or hookup or whatever the heck it was. So she was still drawing in a lot of money, even very recently. Yeah. So it's really wild to think that you've reinvented yourself. You are literally working on your own clock. Doing, I mean, she was doing, half of her pictures were just simple, like, hey, how's it going? Here's a picture of my feet. Like, not everything that she did. And the only reason we watch is because we're one of those shows. Wrestling Soup was one of those shows that poked fun at Sonny multiple times. But, yeah, we're not going to poke fun at the
fact of the alcohol. No, see, the difference with this one is, and I'm sure some of the details, and unfortunately what's going to happen is some people are going to look at court records and just see a one-sentence line and try to interpret what that means. But the one thing I will say right now, and this is why, you know, people are really concerned this time around as far as prison goes, this time around, she had intentions to get physical with someone. You know, I don't know what that means in the planning stages, but apparently, you know, something happened. And, you know, there's more to the story, but like I said, I don't think it's respectful for me to get really, really deep into it. All I'm saying right now is she's in the hospital. And
so is she incarcerated? Can I ask you that? Is she, like, I mean,
no, she's in the hospital right now. But once she.
No, I understand that. But is she underneath guard? Is there police watching her?
Oh, I don't think so right now. But once she's able to leave the hospital, the problem is they may put her right in jail. So I'm not going to.
What I'm saying is usually if you're considered a risk or a flight risk or anything like that, and you have a record, even if you're in the ICU, sometimes they'll even handcuff you right to the actual bed, you know.
Well, I don't think it's to that extent. I mean, a lot of her moving violation stuff from, you know, a couple of months ago, she's not doing court for that until February of next year. So this is more of the restraining order aspect of it. So, but, you know, I just, like I said, you know, I know it's very easy to just look at her career and say, how could someone that famous make that much money, be so much, you know, of an issue or problem? But like I said, man, anybody out there that's ever had a friend, family member, or they knew someone who was an alcoholic and just got very, very violent, very careless, just very abusive. I mean, it comes in all shapes and sizes. It's not just the husband, you know, beating up the wife and the kids. You know, you put in a toxic relationship, it makes some people do some very desperate things, man. I just, yeah, no, you know, for sure. Me, I don't want to speak for anybody else, but for me, I say a prayer for her tonight.
Yeah.
She's got to get a life in check. We do not want this to turn into the ultimate tragedy. And we also don't want to hear that she's in jail for 10 years. You know, so, you know, my thoughts are with her. And I will say this, that, you know, if she happens to see this down the line, because I'm sure she's going to Google her name when she can, you got a lot of close friends that really, really do care about you and cry. And there's some people tonight really, really, really concerned about you. That's all I'm going to say. Prayers. All right. Let's get, you know what? I want to mention this guy too, only because I know a lot of you out there never heard of this guy, but I just want to mention it because our shows, we always pay a little respects to people who have died who don't get recognition on a lot of sites, unless it's, you know, it's a clickbait or attractive name that everybody will click on. But Tom Cusati died at the age of 58. Now, I don't want to get too much into this, but, you know, the one thing that he was always well known for here in the Northeast more than anything is back in the mid to late 80s, he was like the very overweight version of Paulie. And he was inherited some money. I think his mom who had passed away, and he wanted to be in wrestling extremely, extremely bad. And what he would do is some wrestlers who he became friends with, he would show up at shows and offer a bunch of wrestlers to work on these promoters' shows like Dennis Carluzza and others and say, look, I'll pay for their salary. You put them on the show. He became a manager, and he died at the age of 58. Billy Reel. Highlight Billy Reel, friend that I haven't talked to in years. Billy, if you're seeing this, because I know you do tune in, you got to let me know if the Vegas story is true, and if it is, if I can share it with everybody. This guy was an interesting guy. I met him two or three times through Georgia Macropolis. because Georgianne is, you know, my aunt that I never had. And she was my, you know, poker player late at night. And she did the drive with me to raise the money for Conan's kidney transplant. And she got front row seats always for the garden. And I used to work with someone at a Jewish deli who sat with Georgianne. And that's how I met Georgianne back in the late 80s. And at least two or three times, you know, he was sitting ringside. And Georgie would introduce me to him, Blackjack Brown, and others. So he died. A very, very interesting character that a lot of you out there may never have heard of. So I just wanted to mention it. Tom Cusati. Rest in peace. Anyway, Raw tonight. I got to be honest with you, Mish. The wrestling tonight was excellent. And yeah. T-Bar and Chad Gable proved tonight that sometimes when you lose, you win. Because they showcased Chad Gable tonight, who had an excellent match with Finn Balor. And on top of it, T-Bar, although brief, to me, cut the best promo of his WWE career and really, really put on a performance against Damian Priest. I mean,
there's a lot of good promos tonight.
Yeah.
I thought Becky had a good promo. Damian Priest had a real good promo. You know, they're changing a little bit. That was a little bit of fun tonight. I mean, it wasn't a stupendous night, but, you know, that match with T-Bar and Damian was fantastic. And even the main event, I enjoyed that. Even with Seth's fuckery, I enjoyed Owens and Big E. That was such a good main event.
Go ahead. I'll tell you after.
No, I was actually relieved because I wasn't sure how all this was going to go down. I mean, Seth has been a thorn in a lot of our sides for a very long time. And I don't know if he's becoming self-aware, but it's almost funny because his new gimmick is to purposely be annoying. And it's like, wow, well, that's kind of who you are. You're purposely annoying.
So it's kind of like, I got to laugh like him.
Oh, yeah. It's just, he's going over the top. And it's almost kind of like funny to watch him do this because it's like he's making mannerisms like, ha, 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 ha. It's like, dude, you laugh like that all the time. Why is it different now? So I don't know. I'm kind of enjoying it for what it was. It wasn't a bad night overall. It really wasn't.
I absolutely agree. I tell you, you know, first of all, I get annoyed every time I see a WWE superstar and someone has to Photoshop them on a banner that says, Kevin Steen is all elite. Chad Gable is all elite. Yeah. T-Bar is all elite. Stop the shit, people. You know, AEW and WWE, stop comparing them. I mean, first of all, WWE is episodic television. It is an ongoing storyline. You know, this week, what is Big E and Seth Rollins? What are they going to do next week? What are they going to do this week? What are they going to do the week after? AEW is more about live for the moment and having better quality matches. Don't think about two detailed storylines unless there's a pay-per-view around the corner. And that's it. It's two totally different animals. It's like two different, I've said this before, it's like two different pieces of fruit. They're both fruit. But an apple doesn't taste like an orange, and an orange doesn't taste like an apple. It's two totally different products, and stop trying to commingle the two.
One of them is delicious, just big, thick chunks of watermelon, and the other one is durian fruit. So,
I got to look that up. I looked that up, and I went on Amazon, and all I could find are these.
Let me explain it though. So, there's a thing that I brought up to DT, and I thought that people watching on YouTube would get a kick out of this. So, we do predictions here and there, usually coming up for different pay-per-views, et cetera, like maybe a Survivor Series or something. And I thought, wouldn't it be interesting that we make our predictions, and for every prediction we get wrong, we have to eat a piece of durian fruit. Now, the kicker is, if you don't know what durian fruit is, it's a fruit from Thailand. And the best way to describe it is, it smells and tastes like a rotting corpse, like rotting flesh. And it's very popular in Thailand. They make it into shortbread cookies. They make it into breads, into hard candies. They even have a durian tea. But I thought it would be very interesting to see DT and myself be put to the test on one of the bigger pay-per-views. And for every one that we get wrong, we have to eat a piece of durian fruit. I don't know.
I'll do it. I went on Amazon and all I could find, were delicious cookies. All I could find were delicious durian cookies. I didn't see anything that smelled like zombie ass, you know.
But, I'm sure they call it delicious.
Shout out to Brandon Jones. Much love, my friend. Thank you for the kind words and happy 9 months being a member over here. By the way, for everyone out there, if you're interested, you know, friend of the family, Kenny Boland, even though we disagree on our political views most of the time, he is a very, very good man, does a lot of worthy causes within the United States and beyond. And he is trying to raise money to help feed some kids in the Philippines. So any super chats that are donated today, no, we're not forcing you to donate to the cause. We will obviously accept what you give us, and we thank you. What I will do is out of the corporate account, so your contributions don't have to be part of it. Whatever we generate tonight in Super Chats, I will pull it out of my corporate account, and we're going to donate it to Kenny Boland's cause. And I have a little post stickied over here. And if you want to contribute also, it's tinyurl.com/feedingthekids. So his goal is to just raise $1,500. I know he raised, as of tonight's show, maybe about $90 in 5 days. Yeah, we show we could blow that shit out of the water. So we're doing that tonight. And big shout out to Kenny Boland. Very, very good man with his generosity. So also, you know, since we were talking about T-Bar, excellent, excellent super chat from Chris Silver. Do we think T-Bar has the mic skills and the wrestling skills to be a top star?
Yeah. No, we thought that he should have been the breakout a while ago. I mean, even when you go back to the group. Wow. Why am I blanking on the group?
What was Retribution. The group called
again? Retribution. I was going to say Ascension, but that's not right. Sorry about that. But I mean, even when you go back to Retribution, like even before then, even when he was down in NXT, he was a star. So the fact that he feels like he's kind of breaking out now, it's good. Let him. Give him a little bit of rope. Let's see how far he can go with it. Let's see what he can do. Because if tonight is the start of him kind of like loosening up the shackles a little bit, I want to see this guy grow. I want to see him get bigger.
Yeah. I'd be shocked one fall that they bring back his Dijakovic name. First of all, they're not going to call him Dominic, because we already have a Dominic on Raw. Dijakovic is awfully hard to spell. T-Bar is like a nickname, and I honestly don't see them changing the name right now. And honestly, what would you rather have? A good catchy name? Dijakovic.
I like Dijakovic, though, because it sounds like a strong name. It's a strong name. It's the name of like a Polish or like a European fighter. It is Dijakovic. He drinks vodka and kills people. That's what you do, you know?
Remember the early days?
Name.
I couldn't get his name right for nothing in the early days. I always called him Dijakovic. Dijakovic. Oh, man. Those are the days. But I tell you, man, I thought tonight was his best night yet on the main roster, period.
Yeah.
He had a great night.
Yeah, tonight. No. Good. We need more of that. And you know what? I don't mind the brutality tonight. A little bit more vicious in that ring tonight. A lot more meat on meat. That's what we saw tonight. A lot more meat on meat. And that's what we need in wrestling. We need a lot less pirouettes and a lot less dance moves. We need a lot more just the sound, the audio of people's forearms smashing into somebody's ribs. It sounds good on TV. It looks even better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So. Shout out to Phil Maffey. Thank you for the $9.99er. Didn't watch Raw tonight. Hasn't watched recently. But shout out to everybody listening. Thank you very much for your generosity, my friend. And thank you for your support. So big shout out to Phil Maffey. Thank you for that, my friend.
Yeah, thank you, Phil.
And Roger Rubio, thank you as well, donating to the cause. Roger. Big shout out to us. Chat room, La Familia is strong and well. Absolutely, man. The family here is going well. And while everybody else seems to be going down, you know, the Donzilla Army and the Soup Army seem to be going up, which is a good thing. We don't want to see anybody go down, but it's nice when we look up our respective numbers and see nothing but green arrows.
Depends on who she is, DT. That's
Yeah. I get it. Before I give a shout out to Crazy Cruiserweight, I got to share. Oh,
jeez, that guy.
No. I got to just share this. He'll get a kick out of it. The way I set this he'll get a kick out of it. On Raw tonight, we had the typical formula that's been going on for years. But if you read social media, it's as if they just figured it out 6 months ago. That when they want to determine the next challengers for a tag title, the tag champs will lose in some bullshit form in a challenger contender match. It happened, you know, with the Usos. It happened with the New Day. It happened with Ziggler and Rude. It happened with it happens with every team. They lose a non-title to make the opposing team seem credible for a title shot. And we had that tonight with Rhea Ripley and Nikki Ash losing to Carmella and Queen Zelina. But the one thing I got a kick out of was while this match was going on, they showed Dana Brooke, and we will talk about Dana in a few minutes. We see Doudrop, and we see Liv Morgan and Tamina. And why I thought that was so cute was big shout out to Crazy Cruiserweight, because main event spoilers from today, Liv Morgan beat Tamina. She beats her in a match, and then 10 minutes later, she's standing next to her opponent watching a screen.
Because Tamina is such a good sport, DT. You never realize it by the
they went out for sushi after.
They have surrounding, but Tamina is a very gracious loser. She has no problem losing any or all of her matches. She's very much a team player, DT. That's what you got to remember about Tamina.
I'm a fan of Tamina. Absolutely, man. And I'm not being sarcastic. I am a fan of Tamina's. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Also, Cedric Alexander beat Jackson Riker. So, Cruiserweight, thank you as always for the main event spoilers. Thank you, my friend. Before we talk about Dana and a few other topics, let's get into a couple other details from Raw tonight. You know, I tell you, I don't know why people get so triggered when Corey Graves calls his fiance the hottest woman in WWE. Wouldn't any fiance want to say that?
Wait a minute. Are people upset
that
he's throwing compliments to his fiance?
Dude, he was trending tonight on Twitter. And when you click on it to see why he's trending, this guy is stupid.
What do they want him to say about his fiance? Oh, she's horrible in the ring. She's not really good on the eyes. Like, come on, people. Kayfabe or not kayfabe. No dude is going to slam his fiance publicly on social media or otherwise, or else she won't be his fiance for much longer. I mean, come on.
I know. Well, we're probably going to get Queen Zelina and Carmella against, you know, the women's tag team champions, you know, Diarrhea, as I always called them. But I look, Nikki Ash, I've totally changed on the amount of good that she does outside of the cameras. You know, I can't help but to like her. I really can't help it. So, you know, look, the women's tag team division is not all that great right now. But I'm sure Malakai Black is not complaining that Queen Zelina is getting a little bit of an opportunity right now. So I'm fine.
He's probably more worried about that win that Cody got on him clean.
Well, remember, wins and losses didn't matter. As long as he just ruins the Nightmare Family. As long as he ruins the Nightmare Family. You know, Mitch, you've never played a game against someone and you beat them or you lose, but you gave them so much hell and so much aggravation that even though they won, they're like pissed off as fuck, and you feel like you won even though you lost.
Didn't he put his boots in the ring not that long ago?
Yes.
I remember.
Yeah.
I'm just crazy, guys. Don't mind me.
I know. Austin Theory beating Rey Mysterio by DQ because
Austin Theory is growing on me, DT. He is absolutely funny. He is completely into this vain social media fan character that he's playing. It's really good. Like, at first it came off kind of cheesy, and I'm like, is he trying to steal the Tyler Breeze gimmick? But no, he's taking it to a different level. It's almost as if, and I know, I'm sure we're going to talk about some stalker issues later on tonight, but it's almost as if he's playing the stalker fan role, and he's beating up everybody that he wants to get a picture of. It's really it's an interesting gimmick. I got to give him credit. I didn't expect him to do this well, but he's growing on me pretty quickly. He's a funny guy, and he wrestles well in the ring.
Absolutely, man. I liked him in NXT. I've sung praise for him for a long time. He's getting an opportunity, and he can back it up in the ring a little bit.
Theory. I was not a huge fan of him in NXT. He was okay, you know. But I'm really digging where he's going now. I think this is something fun. It's unique. It's different. So
he's growing on me. Definitely growing on me. We had Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode beat the Street Profits. Match was great. I mean, but, you know, the two things that stood out to me is, once again, Omos comes out to cause the distraction, and Montez Ford gets pinned as a result. Second thing is that Randy Orton and Riddle were on commentary. Actually, two other things. Number one, they've done a mashup of Randy Orton's song. Now it's RKO's music with Riddle's beat kind of mixed in with it. And it sounds fucking phenomenal. I like it.
It wasn't bad.
I like the bass part of it. But they were at ringside. They were not in the match. And all throughout this tag match, all you kept hearing was, we want Randy. We want Riddle. We want Randy. Right. We want Riddle. The fans didn't seem like they cared all too much about the opponents in the ring.
I mean, let's be honest. Those two guys are the most important guys in the tag team division right now, right behind AJ and Omos. Mm-hmm. So it really depends on which side of the coin you're sitting on, but everybody else has a lot of work to do before they even catch up to the level of Orton and Riddle or AJ and Omos.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you the interesting thing, Mish, and I'm sure people are starting to think about it. You know, Survivor Series is in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, these brands have to start interacting with each other. So I think next week, not after next week, but next week, you have to start having some interaction with the two brands. Because remember, as of right now, Roman Reigns is taking on Big E. Damian Priest is taking on Nakamura, even though that may change to Corbin. We've talked about that. The Usos are taking on RK-Bro. You know, you got Becky Lynch and Charlotte is still a scheduled match for Survivor Series. I mean, what are you going to do? Have interaction a week before? So something's got to happen next week.
Well, I mean, they're kind of playing with it, though, too. And I think because the draft just settled in, I think it's easy to kind of take any former feuds or former matches and just kind of glom that on a Survivor Series. You know what I mean? It's almost like the draft was done so sloppily that you can just fly by night and put these matches together, and it won't feel like they're insulting the audience.
Yes.
I wouldn't mind if they automatically flipped it and said, okay, well, we're going to do another Usos New Day. Why not? They did it on Friday. Worked well there, you know? So I can see them playing with some certain stuff, you know? It's okay. I'm okay with it. My whole thing is, I'm just sick and tired of WWE ending storylines with no recourse, no understanding. I'm still a little bit upset, maybe I'm the only one, about Finn Balor falling off the rope, nobody explaining it, and then he gets shuffled off to Raw.
Is it just me, or is this three matches in a row that Finn Balor is really selling the problem with his ankle? Like, there's a lower body part that seems to be getting injured repeatedly in the last three matches he has had. Like, the last three matches, he's selling a injury on the lower part of his body. You know, I'm not, it's not a storyline, but I just noticed this is three matches in a row. Ooh, my ankle. Ooh, my shin. Well, ooh, my knee. I don't
know. Is this my psychology? Whole...
Huh?
I mean, this could just be psychology of a man who remembers that he keeps getting injured in the same spots, ergo making sense to the match. I know it's rare. It's very rare where somebody sells a body injury, but Finn Balor might be the one guy that I think universally a lot of fans will go, yeah, he might sell the injury. He might continue to sell the injury days, weeks after it's happened. He might be that guy to remember. Because we know there's a lot of other guys on the roster, guys and gals on the roster, that as soon as they're off television or out of that match, my ankle hurts. I'm just running back to the ropes, you know, running back to the ring. It's just
Finn Balor's awesome.
You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I hope it's not a real injury. Jesus, that would suck.
I tell you, like I said, I'm tired of photoshopping WWE stars, current stars on is elite banners, but
yeah.
I think I would not have too much of a problem if Finn Balor went there. Because I could just imagine. Really? Yeah, I can imagine. Kenny Omega, Adam Cole, Bryan Danielson, CM Punk. I mean, you could just go on. Want to stir it up, Moxley, Kingston, you know, maybe help bring up a Dante Martin a little bit further. I mean,
you're not wrong. Finn Balor would be an absolute get for AEW, but I think he's okay in WWE.
Oh yeah, that's what I always say.
I just wish they gave him a little bit more. That's all. Look, I'm not saying this guy should go on another Universal run, okay? But I think that he should be given a little more. I liked him in NXT, and they brought him back up, and I have no problem with that. I don't know. It's wild to me that there are careers rising and falling around Finn Balor himself, but Finn Balor always feels like he's in the middle. Like, he could go somewhere, but then he doesn't. He's there to help elevate other people. But then he's got an interesting character, but he's only good for his matches.
He doesn't lose his stock.
Really get a promo out of him.
Yeah, he doesn't lose his stock, which is very important. You know, I mean, he loses some matches.
Like he's floating and in the middle, though. Don't you feel like he's in purgatory?
Oh yeah, he's definitely in the middle. But you know, but the good thing is that at any given point, you know, he could get an opportunity again, and the fans would love it. I just wish people online that, you know, obviously don't like WWE would stop trying to portray that every single person in WWE is absolutely miserable. You know, some people do like to be performance art more than anything else. I'm not saying Finn Balor, but I'm just saying just in general. Also tonight, the other two matches. Oh, before even that, Veer now has a last name, Veer Mahan.
Mahan.
Is that like a combination of Muhammad Hassan? I mean, I like the name. I don't know the ties of his history to anything that's like a combination, but, you know, he can't just be Veer. Now he is Veer Mahan. What do you think?
Veer Mahan. I'm okay with it. You know what? It's a last name fitting for a guy like him.
What's that supposed to mean?
Tribal, carnal name, and Veer isn't enough. Every time I heard Veer, it's like, what, Veer off the road?
Yeah.
Veer into a tree? But Veer Mahan almost sounds like it's very carnal, very tribal. Yeah. So good for him.
Shout out to DX Girl Gabriella and the Swerve Show. Three names that we don't see every week, but much love. Yeah. Welcome. Glad everybody's having a good time tonight. Also tonight, we had two other matches. Interesting. First of all, Bianca Belair taking on Becky Lynch for the Raw Women's title, open up Raw. I am so glad that we didn't get what a lot of us expected. Some clusterfuck during the match, and then you have Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville coming out. No, this match is not going to end that way. You two are going to come back later and have a main event. No, we had a straight up match, and once again, Becky cheats to win, grabs the tights, and Becky Lynch proved tonight that she is the smart test, EST.
Yes.
What'd you think of this match? I can't stand people that really think that Bianca Belair is being buried right now. Every loss that she is having right now under special circumstances, fans are getting more. She's got more support now than she did at SummerSlam. I mean, Becky Lynch.
She has more support. I think that a lot of people want Bianca Belair to do better. I don't think. See, I think there's a cutoff there. I don't think people openly want Bianca Belair to fail. And I don't think people want Becky Lynch to fail. They just expect more out of them. They expect more from Bianca Belair because I think a lot of fans have seen where she came from. And I think they expect more of Becky Lynch because we see what Becky Lynch was before she left television.
Can I ask you a question? Please. For everyone out there, you know, you'll answer it, but for everyone out there, I want you to think about this for a minute. Forget about wins and losses for a minute. Right now, who would be better suited to be chasing for the title? Becky Lynch chasing Bianca Belair or Bianca Belair chasing Becky Lynch? Thank God social media was not around when Dusty Rhodes was in the NWA. I have talked about it many times before. When people out there say, Dusty Rhodes, one of the greatest NWA champions of all time, I want to fart right in their mouth. I'm not crapping on Dusty Rhodes. They don't even look to see how many days Dusty Rhodes was the NWA champion. Dusty Rhodes had a reign once for a couple of days, another reign a couple of weeks. Dusty Rhodes never had a long run with the title. Is he one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, period? Yes. But Dusty Rhodes was 10 times more money chasing for the NWA title. The winning moments were very important. But once he won the belt, they realized that the money was him chasing it. So he would drop the title almost immediately.
Yeah.
Anyone thinks that I'm wrong, go look it up. Dusty Rhodes had multiple tag title runs, and they were not very long. They would not be very long. Crazy Cruiserweight just wanted to let everyone know Mickey James at 42 should not be Knockouts champion. That is your opinion. You have every right to say that. And I do know some people agree with you and some people don't. You know, at least, yeah. You know, but if she would have been 39, would it have been okay?
No, she had to have been 29.
Oh, 29, I get it.
Look, anybody over 30.
Look, yeah. Right now Impact is throwing stuff on the wall and trying to get it to stick. They got 99,000 viewers this week. What was that, 6,000 viewership increase right after the pay-per-view with all the title changes? I think that's a little bit disappointing. You know, the ratings this week, you know, Rampage had a nice little rebound. You know, they were, you know, slightly in the mid, they were right around 650. Which is funny because I always said that they should range between 550 and 750. I mean, this is the number that they should be around. You know, SmackDown obviously was on FS1, so the ratings were not going to be good. But they actually broke a million on FS1, which, you know, is not bad. And plus, you think of the playoffs they were going up against, that's pretty good competition. But, you know, I just think Bianca Belair right now is better trying to get the title than being a champion right now and having Becky Lynch chase her. Because you know what's going to happen? They have those confrontations and Becky Lynch is chasing her. If Becky Lynch starts out-cutting promos, promoing Bianca Belair, you know, everybody's going to get behind Becky. You know, so Becky, all she's got to do is just be an asshole at times, and that kind of gets the fans a little bit more behind Bianca. I just think right now, Bianca Belair, you know, there's nothing to worry about. You know, a couple of losses suck, but she's losing because of cheating. Right. Cheating. I mean, you know, I don't think there's anything to worry about Bianca Belair. She's not being buried. I think people just do that to just try to get people triggered or try to get people to talk. So, again, Bianca is better in a position of chasing for the title than the opposite. So,
yeah.
In response to Crazy Cruiserweight, we have Brandon Jones that would like to congratulate Mickey James for winning the Impact Wrestling Women's Knockout Championship. Age is nothing but a number, and she's still hot. I know it'll pop up any second. There he goes. So, hey, you got, look, nobody has 100% approval rate. Not even us. Not even God. Not Biden. Not Trump. Not Mickey James. Not anybody. You know, Sasha Banks, Charlotte. Nobody has 100% approval rate. Not even Tony Khan. By the way, in a couple of minutes, well, after we talk about Big E versus Kevin Owens, we will announce the winners of the John Moxley book contest. I think we were giving away two. So we're going to get two winners tonight for the John Moxley books. And someone tonight is going to win this autographed photo of Liv Morgan. So we got three winners to announce tonight. Two books and an autographed photo.
Liv tonight?
Huh?
I felt bad for Liv tonight because Becky basically Shannon Moore'd her ass. She's Shannon Moore'd her. She just, Liv came up, Becky looked her up and down and went psst, and fucking walked. It's like later Becky.
Well, you know what's going to happen. Liv Morgan is going to get a win over Becky Lynch. And Becky Lynch is going to admit that she didn't take Liv seriously.
Right.
And that'll get people behind Liv Morgan even further. You know, it's very curious right now. Very curious. Chat room. I know on the replay, everybody will see your comments, but I'd love for all of you, and there is no wrong answer, especially Cruiserweight, because they're both under 30. Write down in the chat room right now, or if you tune in after the live show, post it in the comment section. If you had a choice right now of these two people, and only one could be Raw Women's Champion right now, who would you rather be champion right now, Liv Morgan or Bianca Belair? Who would you choose?
Bianca Belair. Absolutely. Liv Morgan doesn't even come close. Bianca Belair is far more talented, in my opinion, on the mic and in the ring than Liv. I don't know what the appeal is of Liv. I really don't.
I'm totally supportive. I mean,
okay, besides the physical appeal.
No,
other than people think that she's pretty.
She's been
I don't get it.
She's been working hard improving in the ring. She's not at that point yet. That's why when everybody said she should have won the briefcase, I thought that was ridiculous. She's not ready yet.
Improving is one thing. Right. Yeah, but improving is one thing, but you're going to try and put her on the same level as Bianca Belair.
No. I agree with you. I don't think that she should be women's champion yet. But I do believe within the next year, she will be a women's champion. There's no rush with her. She, you know, like, I don't want people.
Why? Is she like 23 or something?
It's just that, you know, you don't want someone to be given the title because they got momentum on social media. Because if they're not ready for it, they're going to lose the title in a matter of, you know, weeks, and then it's never going to be revisited again. You know, sometimes in order to get better, you have to be really hungry. I mean, period. I mean, when you are no longer hungry, you become complacent. And is the longer that Liv Morgan is not in that position, the hungrier she remains. So I think right now, you know, Becky Lynch could help elevate Liv Morgan. I don't think Liv Morgan should be champion yet, but I know there's a lot of people that feel otherwise. So, Big E versus Kevin Owens tonight. I like the match.
Solid match.
It was a very solid match. I hated the after-match bullshit. I hated it. Why is Big E, and please, everyone, don't get upset when I say it like this. Hear me out. Why is Big E a triggered little bitch? Because Seth Rollins cheap shots him and Kevin Owens goes for a pin anyway. Because Kevin Owens is apologizing for him and he's like, you saw that, you saw that, you went for the pin anyway, you saw that, you saw that, You saw that. You saw that. You honestly, saw that. Don't touch my arm. You saw that. I mean, Big E acted like a why would you be so triggered and upset? Yeah, you know, it's just, I just thought it was forced and it was so awful. Here's
three reasons. First off, when Kevin Owens kept saying, I'm sorry. I thought we were leading up to Kevin Owens blasting Big E again.
Yes.
Like, it was going on for so long. I'm like, okay, Kevin Owens is setting this up. He's going to take out Big E. But at the other point, though, too, is you got to remember, I guess Kevin Owens and Big E are friends. So maybe there was some kind of a betrayal there. And that's why
stupid.
Big E's like, no, I get it. You know, yeah,
it
you
was saw so that. Stupid.
It wasn't stupid, but it did not need to go on for as long as it did.
Yeah.
I'm okay with Big E snapping on Kevin Owens because he's the champ. He's got to realize that everybody wants his gold. Everybody wants his lucky charms. So the only way that he can sustain himself is other than New Day, he's got to realize that everybody else is kind of an enemy at some level, some more threatening than others. And I think that Kevin Owens was on the lower end, and he didn't expect this to be nothing more than an exhibition. And so the fact that there was the fuckery about, the fact that Seth Rollins got involved, even though earlier in the night, Kevin Owens says, if you get involved, I'm going to make you pay.
Yeah.
And I did like the fact that he called out Seth Rollins and he said, it's all your punk bitch ass's fault. And I was like, good. So you've developed a storyline now where Seth has caused Kevin Owens to lose face because Kevin Owens no longer looks honest. Because if you're looking at it from the view of Big E, was Kevin Owens in on it? Was Kevin Owens a part of this bullshit? Or is Seth just playing fucking games? Because both could be valid. So from Big E's point of view, yeah, the storyline made sense. But I agree with you. I didn't like how long they dragged it. It was like somebody had a timer and said 30 more seconds, you know, and they just kept going.
It was painful.
I don't know, man.
Thank you, Cruiserweight. After Raw went off the air, Big E took on Seth Rollins and defeated Seth Rollins, but by countout. Seth Rollins got out of Dodge, and Big E, he retains the title, obviously, but also won by countout. I like that they're doing some matches with him because, again, they're not facing each other at Survivor Series, so they're going to face each other either the week before Survivor Series or the week after Survivor Series. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe they do the right thing and they start establishing storylines down the road for other pay-per-views. Yeah. I mean, look, that's one of the things that WWE has been guilty of for years. And I'm pretty sure that everybody in the chat, no matter what side they're on, can agree. WWE has a bad habit of only focusing on the feuds that are going to happen at this event. Yeah. WWE needs to expand a little bit and start branching out relationships, good or bad or indifferent, for further fights and feuds down the road. Mm-hmm. And if this is what this ends up being with Seth, DC, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. That was your Raw tonight. Pretty good show. Great wrestling.
Yeah, man.
Some people getting some opportunities that normally don't, and I think that's going to help them in the near future. So,
sure.
Before we go any further, let's announce some winners, shall we? So remember last week for the episode, for those that wanted to be part of the Liv Morgan contest to give away this autographed photo, and for those out there that wanted to win John Moxley's book, all you had to do is post a comment in the comment section. After your comment, you put hashtag Liv, L-I-V, or you put hashtag Mox, M-O-X. So what I am going to do live right now is I'm going to pull up last week's episode. And I know it looks a little primitive, but at least you could see. Mish, you see my mouse? Wait.
Yeah.
You see my mouse? You see me doing this?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
All right. Pick all a number 1 to 10. Pick any number you want.
14.
All right.
4.
Four? Okay.
You said 1 to 10. I'm sorry. And I said 14 because I'm brilliant. Like
okay. Four. All right. So 4. So you will see right after Ember Moon on the top, I'm going to write the number 4. Okay, so at least you could see this is live. You all could see on top that this is live. So what I'm going to do in the top left-hand corner is I am going to select the contest, pick a winner. And then, obviously, the comment from last week must contain a phrase. So when I do hashtag live, what this is going to do is it's going to randomly pick somebody from last week. And you have up until next Monday at 11 p.m. to claim your prize. Email me, Don Tony at DonTony.com or DM me on Twitter. And what we'll start doing, I think, next week or the week after when we do the next contest, there is a way that I can actually contact you on YouTube. It has to do with notifications and stuff like that. I mean, I have to, you know, figure out how it's done, and I'll explain to everybody. This way you don't have to contact me outside of YouTube. But I'm going to click pick a winner right now, and whoever this lands on gets the Liv Morgan photo. If this person does not claim it by next Monday or decides they don't want it, then we'll pick a new winner next week. So congrats to Benjamin, 019. Hey. So Benjamin wins the Liv Morgan signed photo. Now what we will do is let's get out of this. Let's go back. Now, obviously, you can only win one contest. So, Benjamin, no disrespect, but if your name comes up again, you know, we have to pick somebody else, to be fair. So now I'm going to go back here, and I'm going to put hashtag Mox, and we're going to pick two people. Each one wins John Moxley's book. So congrats to James Young. James Young, longtime Patreon too. James Young.
Yeah.
And blunt with his comment. No comment, just hashtag Mox. So James Young, congrats to you. And also congrats to David R.
David R.
I don't know if right now the Moxley book is not in audio form. Like Audible, it's not in audio form yet. I can
read it to you if you'd like, David. I'll read the book to you if you prefer.
Oh, man, yeah. So, well, congrats to those two. We gave away the Liv Morgan photo. Yeah, so the contests are done. So very cool. So congrats to the winners. So
indeed.
Yeah, back on to the show. That was pretty cool. Mish, over the years, as a wrestling fan, there, and for the chat room as well, there's been a phrase in wrestling where they always say it's that time of the year. It's the time-honored tradition. What do they always talk about? Like a certain time of the year, it was always like a time-honored tradition every year, something with wrestling.
WrestleMania?
WrestleMania, Survivor Series.
The Big Four.
Thanksgiving, you know, you always have the a WWE pay-per-view, WWF pay-per-view on Thanksgiving. Well, it's that time of the year. It happens every 3-4 months where Dana Brooke has to post a self-improvement, reassuring herself. People praying on my downfall. That will never happen. WWE has been there for me through it all, and it's only up from here. Married to wrestling, and that's my passion. I got this. So, you know, her convincing, you know, herself and to others that, you know, it's all up from here. It's only up from here. That was her latest post. Did you check out Corey Graves' interview? I think he did it. What did he do with Ryan Satin?
I did read a little bit of that interview. I saw it on Facebook, and his response to how much hatred he has received on social media because of his detrimental remarks about Dana Brooke and her career.
She posted this. Corey Graves, I will read you a few sentences about why he said what he said about Dana Brooke on a recent episode of Raw. If people remember, on that episode, when she was taking on, I don't know if it was Charlotte Flair, but she might have been taking on Charlotte. But Corey Graves said, and I quote, "I'm all for giving people time to develop. giving people time to realize their potential. But on a long enough timeline, you got to cut your losses. Now, I'm not trying to be a jerk. If I'm Dana Brooke and that's being told in front of millions, I'd be pretty damn pissed because obviously, you know, after all these years, it's only up from here. You know, it should have been only up from there years ago. But anyway, he was asked about it. He said that the next morning he texted her and he said that it was nothing personal. And, you know, he, I guess, kind of apologized for it. But Corey Graves said, and I quote, 99.9% of the time, everybody realizes that it's just me doing what I do. I love walking the line and being provocative. I also make sure and I try to take great care that I don't ever harm anyone from a character perspective. The text message was, hey, no hard feelings. It wasn't personal. I don't know what's going to happen on these shows. I am reacting. That's my choice. There have been times where I sat in production meetings and I have ideas, but I prefer not to know what's happening because I like to think my reactions are more genuine. I get to use my wit a little bit better. William Regal actually used to instill in us back in the day that commentators are a great tool for a superstar. We can tell your story better than you can. Oftentimes, if something goes wrong, Corey Graves, the commentators, is the last line of defense and can clean things up sometimes or explain why something didn't go perfectly. William Regal used to say all the time, if you don't utilize the commentators, then you're doing yourself a disservice. He goes on to say that his job ultimately is to enhance everything. He does it in a very unique way. It's unique to his perspective as a bad guy, but he's trying to achieve sympathy for the devil from a viewer's perspective. Like, here's why this person did the underhand thing. He says that it's not unique because a lot of people think that in 2021 that the full-blown heel commentator is passé. He thinks to an extent, can you imagine Bobby Heenan? He wouldn't exist in 2021. He would be fired, canceled, tarred, feathered publicly because that's the way the world has changed. I try to be a little bit more villainous, meaning that full-blown bad guy, justifying and only rooting for the bad guys and the good guys are wrong. I try to adapt, but I grew up on Bobby Heenan and Jesse Ventura. Deep inside me, that's who I am a fan of. So when it comes time to what I'm doing, I just fall back on what I was a fan of. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. So that was his explanation as to why he said what he said about Dana Brooke. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know why in the fuck he's apologizing. Screw those people.
I don't think he's apologizing. I think he's just trying to explain why. You know, maybe educate.
Kind of apologizing. He's quantifying why he said something, as opposed because people on social media got all butthurt. And the ones that like Dana Brooke are like, no, Corey, she's not worthless. She has value. And Corey's working his character. Corey has been a heel commentator for a while now. If anything, the fact that people immediately latched on to the Dana Brooke stuff, you know what that tells me? The truth fucking hurts, doesn't it? The truth really does sting. When everything else this guy says about, oh, how amazing Carmella is and his love for Bliss and all this and that, and nobody bats an eye. But as soon as he takes a dig at Dana Brooke, everybody gets all, ooh, that pucker. It just puckers right up. It insults them. Why in the hell does he have to quantify or even qualify anything that he says when he's on TV? Dude, just say what you want, Corey. Say what the hell you want. Your role is to piss people off. So if people are pissed, enjoy cashing your paycheck. You're doing a good job. I don't understand why you had to go into this interview about, well, the reason that I said the things I did about Dana Brooke is because my ancestors, Bobby the Brain Heenan and Jesse Ventura, taught me. Jesus Christ, dude.
Yeah.
Just beat her ass. That's all.
Yeah.
Beat absolutely. Her ass with the microphone.
Absolutely. Couple of programming notes that I think some of you would definitely want to be interested in. First of all, tribute to the troops. We talked about this a few weeks ago. You know, remember the night that SmackDown went 2.5 hours. They taped Tribute to the Troops matches that night, too. Everybody just focused on, why is WWE going up against part of AEW programming? Big E versus Dolph Ziggler was recorded that night. Bianca versus Liv Morgan. And Roman Reigns versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Tribute to the Troops will air on Sunday, November 14th on Fox. We do not have an exact time yet. A lot of people think it's going to be sometime around 7 p.m. That's the day after AEW Full Gear. So make a programming note there. Also, and I think people may find this a little bit interesting. On November 10th, they could have a WrestleMania 38 on sale party at AT&T Stadium in Dallas, Texas. This is the banner that they put out. Anything on that banner like kind of interest you? Anything stick out to you that you find a little bit interesting from this banner?
Yeah, Reggie. Why is Reggie on there?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I swear to God, I didn't even see Reggie. I swear to freaking... Well, you know what?
Jesus, PT.
You know why it could be? You know why it could be?
Everybody on this poster is a wrestler except for Reggie?
Okay. No, he might be on this poster because he may be one of the people that will be there on that date. But what I find very interesting about it is look at The Undertaker. They're showing him like a kind of like American Badass Undertaker.
But that's kind of how he's been doing media lately.
Though. Abu Dhabi, Pitbull.
Fair enough. But he's been doing other media, like public media, as Biker Taker. He did the Hot Ones last year as Biker Taker. So, I don't know, man. I think it's kind of a hit or miss. I think he's playing whatever role they want him to play.
Yeah, look, hey, I'll take 2002 Undertaker. I just found it interesting. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Every time we see Undertaker on a WWE banner, it's the old school look, not American Badass. Right. So I was like, oh, I find that pretty interesting. Think there's any chance Undertaker goes in the Hall of Fame next year?
I mean, it's in Texas, right?
Yeah. I think he's got to go.
What everybody kind of went like, yeah, that would be kind of neat.
I think he's got to go.
Going in at home?
I think he's got to go.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yep. Also, you know, just since we're talking about programming stuff, AEW's first Clash of the Champions type event that's going to air on TNT, that is going to take place on Saturday, January 8th. It's not 100% official yet, but that's the date that they're going for. You know, if people forget, Dynamite is moving to TBS, but four times a year, they will have Clash of the Champions type shows on TNT. So the first one of the year, you know, which I find very interesting that they're doing it so early in 2022, but that will be the first one next year. So I just figured I'd share that with everybody. Okay. Just looking to see, because, you know, obviously we're going to wrap this up in about 20 minutes. We're moving right along, which I think is pretty good. A little, you know, Eric Bischoff, very supportive of AEW, but Eric Bischoff is obviously one that is going to be brutally honest and give criticism where needed. Suddenly, Eric Bischoff is evil to a lot of people.
Of course.
There. Did you see his latest remark about Tony Khan?
I've seen a few remarks that he's had about Tony Khan. I don't know what you mean by his latest, like in the last 24 hours.
This one. Came out over the weekend, pretty much, and I saw so many websites just totally ignore it. Eric Bischoff says, and I quote, "I almost wish I could reboot WCW just to show Tony Khan how it's done. I wouldn't have a comedy champion or make fans wait 3 years for a payoff to a story. I could restart WCW tomorrow and get more viewers than AEW. Not an opinion, it's a fact. Tony Khan is not a genius. He has just been ambushed by Nero Faye." Yeah, did you get my email? I sent you that file. Do not super chat. Oh, okay, he actually just answered me. All right, so I'll do the other call tomorrow. So I'll send you the other one tomorrow. I know which one you're talking about. You're talking about the follow-up. You wanted a clip from one of the shows we did recently. But Eric Bischoff says that Tony Khan is not a genius. He's lucky. Now, my thoughts on this, Mish. Joe Koff, I mean, we've already talked to death about Ring of Honor and the situation there. You know, they could talk about reimagined all they want. There's nothing you could reimagine that's going to make Sinclair happier next year than they are now. I find it a little disingenuous when Joe Koff says that a couple of years ago, you know, Tony Khan, Cody, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, they capitalized and created AEW, and Ring of Honor missed an opportunity. And I can't help but to think, wait a minute, you know, with everything with Sinclair, at the end of the day, this is a Sinclair decision, not a Joe Koff decision. So everybody there is all about, you know, oh, suddenly everybody gives a shit about Ring of Honor. But at the end of the day, all of everything that's happened is at the fault of Sinclair, not Joe Koff. Joe Koff is not to blame. Fans are not to blame. Right? It's Sinclair. And, you know, they say what shoulda, woulda, coulda. Yeah, I think that's a little disingenuous. But, you know, I think Eric Bischoff makes a valid point that Tony Khan was in the right place at the right time, and you know, where there was not another promotion out there, and Impact Wrestling was, you know, just not doing all that spectacular either.
You're going to make me defend Tony Khan, DT. What are you doing?
Well, I don't
have to slightly.
I'm
disagree.
Saying like I could understand why Eric. I'm not saying that Tony Khan is not smart. Tony Khan is very smart.
Right, right.
Well, he was lucky to be in the position that he's in, but he was very smart to go forward with it.
Tony Khan was talking about how intelligent he was, blabbermouthing over about Ted, billionaire Ted, and at the same time invoked the ire of Eric Bischoff. And since then, Tony Khan has said some pretty silly things, some blatant lies to Business Insider, some blatant lies to Forbes magazine. So the thing with the response from Eric Bischoff saying that Tony Khan is lucky, I disagree. I think Tony Khan understands what the WWE audience wanted. And when AEW was originally formed by ROH and Sinclair at All In, he understood. And when he was watching that, he realized what those fans wanted. And so he's kind of built up his own promotion based upon the expectations of social media. I don't think that this guy is a genius. I totally agree with Eric Bischoff 100% in that. But what Tony Khan is an opportunist. He has the resources, financially and otherwise, connections, and he has the wherewithal to know how to make money from people's spoiled expectations from former WWE fans. It's no secret. You look at the decline of WWE ratings for years, and you have to wonder, on the outside, especially if you're a billionaire that has a lot of money and happens to be a wrestling fan, why are all these ratings going down? Why is WWE losing fans? Why are their house shows having less and less fans every year, but WWE still turns profits?
See,
where do those fans go?
That's
where Tony Khan is smart,
yeah,
because he realized where those fans went, and he's trying to bring them back into AEW. His big vision, his big promise, not Cody's, not Kenny Omega's, not the Young Bucks, not Chris Jericho, but Tony Khan's vision is why people keep showing up to AEW.
I think when Tony Khan saw All In get over 10,000 fans, Tony Khan is like, we're onto something. Koff. Listen,
that's what I said.
Koff,
the guy literally zeroed in.
Yeah, see, yeah. When Joe Koff says they missed an opportunity, Sinclair missed opportunities. Because at any point over the last couple of years, Sinclair could have tried to make a move before AEW started getting crazy-ass momentum and was just signing people left and right. Ring of Honor and Sinclair could have snatched up quite a few people, and they chose not to. Because that's the reason why Ring of Honor really has not grown in 15 years. So Tony Khan sees what happened with the first All In and is like, wow, look at this audience. We got to build on this. So Tony Khan, I think, was very, very smart. He was lucky to be in that situation. Lucky.
He's not lucky.
He was lucky to have, he was lucky to have Ring of Honor involved as much as they did. So that's where the luck comes in, because that doesn't happen all the time. Then obviously he took it from there.
No, he sells a vision. How do I put this? There's a reason we call them the cult of AEW. They're AEW cultists. They're fanatics. It's because he builds these people up into a fervor. He builds them up into a froth. He makes AEW fans feel like if they don't support AEW, then they're just not wrestling fans.
Yes, it's that I agree with. Mirrors.
Yeah, it's total smoke and mirrors. But that's why I'm saying he's an opportunist, because all of these AEW fans, all of them, I don't believe that there's any on the outside. You, it would take a lot to convince me otherwise, are all just disenfranchised WWE fans. That's all they are. They're just people that either got sick of Vince, got sick of WWE booking, got sick of their favorites being booked like idiots, put in bad matches, whatever it is, whatever their reason was to quit WWE and venture out and watch more indies or watch Japan or watch Mexico or Canada or whatever else have you. All those AEW fans, that entire company is literally built on the backs of disenfranchised WWE fans. And Tony Khan spilling out his vision to keep drawing those people in.
No, good points. Good points. I guess we can move on, because we want to get into a couple more topics before we go. Brandon, no, you made some valid points. I can't argue with that. I think it's a combination of both. But
I just don't think he's lucky. That's such a weird thing to say.
Well, he was lucky in the beginning. He was lucky to be in that position where he could pick up where All In left off.
Yeah.
Is that maybe that better way to put it? Maybe. Brandon Jones, yeah. I don't want you to super chat this, Brandon. I mean, you don't have to, but I don't know who you're talking about. You said, we can agree on this. WWE kept her around and around, and it's no one's fault, but WWE, they had all the power. I don't know who you're talking about.
So I'll say words of Vince, you're fired, but we can't control what WWE do.
Unless maybe about, I don't know. Unless maybe, well, you want to know something? Brandon Jones, I mean, in the chat room. Oh, maybe Dana. Okay. Yes. I think he's talking about Dana Brooke. That makes sense. That okay. Dana Brooke kept her around and around, and it's no one's fault but WWE. They had all the power. Look, I don't want to see Dana Brooke fired, but, you know, every few months, it's the same, you know, let me pick myself up and let me remind everyone and let me assure everyone that this is the time and this is the moment and this is this. You know, Moxley wrote a book and wrote about Kevin Dunn and a lot of the politics in that company. Something tells me that if Moxley could get treated that bad, that they're not going to walk on eggshells whenever they're around Dana Brooke. So,
oh yeah, she's not even a thought.
Yeah.
I think Dana Brooke is lucky to still even be in conversations right now.
Yeah.
I mean, she hasn't done anything notable in the ring for a while. She isn't really seen as a strong wrestler. She's not seen as a strong promo. She just has a lot of fans that like looking at her, I think.
And she's not a bad person. I just, you know, I hope she could turn around.
I don't know who she is as a person, so.
Well, I hear nice things about her. I mean, you know, it's not why I watch wrestling. I watch wrestling to be entertained. But, look, you know, never say never, but, you know, gets to a point where, you know, she, trust me, I don't think if Kevin Dunn is, like, looking to get rid of her, I'm not saying that they are, but if, I don't think because he sees a tweet where she's saying, no, it's all up from here, that he's going to say, all right, forget it. You know, they're going to do what they're going to want to do, whether, you know, she feels, you know, a certain way or not. I mean, hopefully, you know, something changes with her. I mean, it's the nicest way I could put it. All right, we have a new feature, Mish. We did it on Saturday, got some great response. And we have to now start calling certain people out.
We're going to start calling people out.
Yeah, we got to start calling places out. Here we go.
Is it Ken?
Nope.
Is Ken first on the list? Oh, you mean on Twitter.
Never yeah, heard. Ringside News with the latest garbage. Tony Nese almost quit wrestling during his WWE run. Tony Nese responds back, terrible journalism. I said I almost quit before WWE because it seemed like nothing was happening in his career. During WWE, I never thought that even once. Please listen with your ears and your brain, then report.
Warning, warning, bullshit alert.
So, yeah, everybody.
That was bullshit.
Ringside News does this every other week. They report bullshit, and they yes. never take it down unless a wrestler really calls them out on it, and it starts to pile up. Then all of a sudden, they're like, oh, my bad, I fixed it.
Bullshit detected. Take precautions.
That side is other garbage. These are the same assholes that said, these are the same assholes that talked about Charlotte last week, and they actually posted a picture of her with her face photoshopped with shares.
Bullshit level, DEFCON 5.
Garbage. Assholes. Asshole. That is a site that got a blue check mark because they're all over the news because they're garbage. That's the truth. And their latest bullshit is to try to claim, again, these people do, it's the same formula. Everybody in WWE is looking to get it out of that company. Like last week, people close to Chad Gable are telling him to get out of his contract. This is just make WWE seem as miserable as it possibly can be. Tony Nese, he wanted to quit wrestling while he was in WWE, and that was bullshit. So good for Tony Nese to call him out, and good for everybody out there to stay on it, to force these motherfuckers to change their story, because it takes 3 seconds to delete a tweet. And they have written so many wrong things, and they just leave it there. They'll post an update. Yeah. But they'll leave the original wrong shit online. And they are assholes. Toxic.
Which is really weird. And maybe you can clarify this for me. So I still run underneath the guys that AEW absolutely influences a lot of the media sites and podcasts that are out there. Not all. Obviously not all. They don't have that much money. But for a company, and I do say company, like Ringside News, where their head writer still kind of does work with WWE, isn't it kind of weird that they would use that clout, Mr. Satin, Mr. Dildo, in order to kind of flex with bullshit news like that?
Listen, Mystery Man, I'm not giving them attention. Everybody knows who the fuck they are, because anybody that pays attention to news sees people confronting them over their bullshit. So it's, if anybody out there starts following their site because of bullshit news, you deserve to get bullshit news. So it's different. It's different. I could see if they were better journalists than, let's say, us. We're not journalists, but let's say we were journalists and they were better. You know, why do you think so many places out, so many shows out there?
But do you think that that's what they're doing? Is that they're using the fact that Ryan sat and worked with WWE. He was doing that stuff on Fox with them for a little while. Do you think that they're using that in order to draw people in with bullshit news in order to do the clickbait? I don't know. I'm just curious.
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. Get attention. That's all you need. By the way, Miz did get bounced tonight on Dancing with the Stars. If anybody followed it closely today, you could have figured it out. Miz, I think he got all eights on his votes. They had him in last place. Right after they announced him in last place on Dancing with the Stars, or it came on social media, that's when Corey Graves said, can we have Miz back on Raw, please? So WWE knew that if it was going to go south today for the Miz, that's when you get a name dropped. And I mean, they've been telling everybody to vote for Miz every week, but if people notice, this week they mentioned Miz after the voting was pretty much done. Yeah. So Miz is eliminated. Miz did an awesome job. Props to the Miz. Did a fabulous job. And I am so happy that I have proudly expressed my fandomhood for the Miz for many, many years.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Good for him. Good for him. Good for him. By the way, you know, I posted this more as a joke that I don't believe that is real. That is not real. Somebody, you know, photoshopped that together. So if anyone out there, no, we're not trying to report bullshit news. We are telling you it is bullshit. But whoever did that, good job. How was your Halloween?
It was all right. Took out the kiddos. Went with my brother and his kids and stuff like that. They made out a, like just fat rats. So much candy. It was wild, too, because obviously last year Halloween was canceled for everybody for the most part. I mean, there was still people going around, but it was nowhere near as much. But this year, man, there was people with cookouts on their front lawns. I mean, we as the adults were going by, so we're not getting candy. But then there's dudes with like big igloo coolers full of beer and fucking whiskey and White Claws. And they're just handing them out. They're like, for the adults, you know? And it was pretty wild. Like, and we were around north side of Chicago. There's a lot of places, a lot of homes taking place with this. I was very impressed because, you know, being back in Chicago, I was kind of expecting we're still dealing with COVID. You're still dealing with the lockdown. Matter of fact, it was kind of funny too. I don't know if you've seen these yet, but there was a lot of candy chutes. I never saw the candy chutes before, but it's this long PVC pipe that people paint up and it goes from the top of their stairs all the way to the bottom.
Oh.
So if you don't want to just leave out a basket,
you leave the bag.
Kids grab it, you can just sit there and just toss down the candy in the chute. And so that's what
pretty
a lot
cool,
of people
man. Had. That is pretty cool. Yeah, like
kids,
a conveyor
though,
belt. I mean, it's almost like a conveyor belt. That's pretty cool.
We saw probably at least 1,000 kids, if not more, running around these blocks. So it was kind of a throwback, and it was nice to see so many kids involved with, you know, Halloween and stuff. Not as much decorations. I mean, there were some houses that totally did it right, don't get me wrong. But for the most part, people aren't decorating as much anymore. It was nice to see the community out there, but the decorations, not so much this year still. Not yet. Yeah. Maybe in time, you know.
Shout out to Darren Gordon Hill. Thank you very much for the 5-pounder. He says, Miz is his greatest rags to riches story in WWE. Who is ours?
I mean, Miz is a good one, coming all the way from the real world as just this annoying kid on the real world. Absolutely. But I don't really know if I look at him as rags to riches because he got MTV time that really kind of bumped him into WWE and all that other stuff. So I guess when you think rags to riches, I think somebody like Piper, who was homeless, didn't have parents, you know, and became Roddy fucking Piper. You know, it's like, I don't know. I mean, there's some hard luck stories out there. Even Ric Flair, people forget his parents aren't his real parents. They're his adopted parents. You know,
my choice. My immediate choice goes back a little bit longer. Bruno. Bruno came from,
immigrant.
He was an immigrant, came over on the boat, didn't speak English, escaped. I don't know if it was communism, I think it was. His family lived in the mountains, and, you know, he had nothing. He had nothing. So I probably would go with Bruno, you know, as far as, like, the ultimate rags to riches. I mean, especially when you think about it at a time where, you know, you didn't have the luxuries of today and conveniences.
Right.
So I'm sure there's a ton. Booker T.
I'm sure there is. Especially when you talk about the older generation, too. Man, I can't even tell you how many hard luck stories there were probably back then, too.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't put The Rock in there, Lloyd, and only because his family, you know, maybe The Rock had to sleep in a car, just like Mick Foley had to eat cans of tuna fish. I mean, you know, I could give you a whole bunch of indie wrestlers who have now made it in wrestling that were making $5, $10 a show. It's their families had roofs over their heads. We're talking about people who were homeless that came over and didn't have anything, period.
Anything
I think Booker T would be a good example. Booker T's backdrop, you know, having to be, you know, the breadwinner, you know, at such a young age. There's a lot of good choices. Maybe The Rock is not a bad choice, you know, when you think about it. So, Mercedes Martinez did a great interview on Bells to Bells, that is a podcast.
Oh.
And, yeah. you know, just to summarize it, I think the biggest noteworthy item coming out of it is that when she worked AEW All in 2019, they never, Double or Nothing. I'm sorry, she was the Joker in Double or Nothing. That AEW right. never offered her a contract.
Hmm.
And that was something that you and I, even back then, we were wondering, like, you know, we wondered, did AEW...
Where are they going to go with it? Right.
Right, because right. we were really curious that, wow, she signed with WWE. You would have thought with a brand new promotion and Mercedes Martinez with 20 years under her belt, she could help teach the stars of tomorrow. She, yeah, she showed a lot of love to Awesome Kong, who was really helping out the women's division at that time. But she revealed in the podcast that AEW never offered her, which yeah. I find very interesting.
It is.
Yeah. yeah. So it's a good interview if any of you out there want to check it out. So also, I don't know what you all think about this, but I found this. It's not a big deal. In fact, I had it on the title for tonight's episode. I'm going to obviously replace it with the Tammy news because it is, you know, a serious story. But WWE came out with a top 10 list of what they call the scariest female superstars in their history.
Mm.
Alexa Bliss topped the list.
I might not disagree with that, depending on the context of this.
Well, I'll read you the top 10. And this is WWE, by the way. I can't bring up other promotions. Number 10, Mei Ying. Number 9, Ariel. Remember with... Mordecai, yeah, whatever his name was. Yeah. Number 8.
Not Malachi, 7, right?
Oh, no, it wasn't 7. It was he was Mordecai, and then he turned into... What was Mordecai's name when he was with...
Kevin Thorne, wasn't it?
Kevin Thorne, thank you. Yes, Kevin
yeah.
Thorne. So, number 9, Ariel. Number 8, Karma. Number 7, Victoria. Number 6... Okay. Number 6, Shayna Baszler. Number 5, Nikki Cross. Number 4, Sherry. And I wish they would have called her Scary Sherry instead of Sensational Sherry, but they didn't.
That's okay.
Number 3, China. China! Number 2, Luda Vachon. Number 1, Alexa Bliss.
So you're telling me more people were terrified of Alexa Bliss than Luna Vachon? Are they terrified of her social following? Because if that's the case, she absolutely deserves number one all day. The stands for Alexa Bliss are some terrifying people. Yeah, that's a...
It's an interesting list.
Okay.
I would have put Karma number one.
Yeah.
I would have put Karma number one.
I would have even put Luna at number one.
Yeah,
Luna
number one is a good
especially
one.
Being Mad Dog's daughter. Like, Luna had some fear to spread around to people. Absolutely, the way she sounded, the way she looked, with the paint on the side of her mohawk. Like,
I'm with I'm with Rams fan Bull Nakano. I think should be on that list.
Oh, Bull Nakano. Yeah, there you go.
You know, but China wasn't scary. China was intimidating. Wasn't scary.
Yeah, China wasn't scary.
I mean,
you
look.
Know who should have been up there as scary? Santina. Santina would have been up on the list as scary.
Oh, man. I'm surprised they didn't put Nicole Bass on that list. I mean, why would
WWE
you?
WWE girl?
I don't know. Yeah, she was in there for a little while. Remember with the cat?
Oh,
Nicole
yeah.
Bass was a good friend of mine. Look, I'm not going to give Nicole Bass stories tonight. So everybody that knows them already, not tonight. But that's an interesting list. Victoria, she was
Victoria
crazy.
Makes sense. Yeah, Victoria, she had a good mean streak. Like, her character, especially when she was beating up pink short-wearing Stevie Richards, she was good when she had him at her side because she was a very forceful woman. I'm trying to think of if there's anybody off the list. Not off the top of my head, but I know I'm missing some. I really am.
Yeah, so. This list, I honestly don't know why they even did this. I know they did it because of Halloween, but...
Yeah, it's a Halloween thing.
Yeah, it's a Halloween thing. So, Let's see. Anything else that we're leaving out tonight? Oh, big shout out to Danhausen. Danhausen, unfortunately, over the weekend broke his leg in an indie show. I don't have any update on Mance Warner yet, but Danhausen is going to be out for quite some time. So for all of you that are fans of his work, maybe you want to send him some well wishes. He broke his tibia and his fibula.
Yeah.
So
don't forget about Jimmy Wang Yang returning to WWE.
Yeah, I mentioned it Saturday a little bit. Oh, yeah, okay. I mean, you know, they're trying to bring him back as a producer. They gave, I think, Petey Williams a little shot. So what was the stalking thing? I guess we could close out. You mentioned it before we went live. Are you talking about the whack job with Sasha Banks?
Yeah.
Share with everybody, because we could close out with that. Share that with everybody. Well, I mean,
do you want me to read it or show it to you?
If you want. I mean, it's, why not? If you want.
So,
while he's pulling that up, shout out to the family. I also want to shout out Joe Cool and Diamond Jackson, who are new patrons. And by the way, for everybody out there that's asked me this for years, and I don't know why I never did it before, but for everyone out there that always wanted to be a Patreon, but is not interested in the Patreon content, you could sign up there. And I call it the Buy DT a Cup of Coffee. A cup of coffee, cuppa, spelled C-U-P-P-A, a cup of coffee for DT.
C-U-P-P-A.
$1. Right. It's a dollar tier. You don't get nothing but a thank you. But for everyone out there that always wanted to be a patron, but not interested in the content, go check that out. A cup of coffee. Shout out to both of them. All right.
You know, I don't know if it'll
show. No, you can. I'm going to see. Let's see. You just probably have to zoom out a little bit.
Yeah, no, I'll switch it over to this one real quick. And I'll just read it off.
Yeah, what is that? I see jeans in the background. Is that covering up a peepee?
It sure is.
Oh, my God.
So this guy goes online. He's going on social media. We're not really sure if this is a cry for attention or if this guy needs some serious medical intervention, mental intervention. But he goes online and he starts talking about, "I'm nearly done with the dream catcher I started for you, brother. I mean to finish it, but now things are so hard for me that I can't see its final result. You don't know how much that hurts me. To be robbed of my imagination hurts the most, and I'm sorry." Let me pull this up.
Oh, I got it.
He says, "You don't understand. This person, Sasha Banks, has ruined my life, and she has lied to me every step of the way. I don't give a fuck who knows anymore, but she has fucked up my life, and she is the person responsible for my death. She has killed me. That's what I mean. I'm talking about the real Mercedes Vernado, the woman whom I've had an online relationship for the past 8 months, and I'm not lying about it, but she damn sure knows how to lie. The problem with most people is they want to like everything they see just because it's from somebody they are already following. This isn't how life really is, and I'm sorry to tell people that. This is my real life. This is life. That's my real dick. I don't give a fuck who sees it."
He's got a cartoon penis? What are those dots?
Somebody covered it up with a cartoon.
What kind of cartoon is that? I never saw a cartoon that looked like that.
It's a poor little feller cartoon.
Is it? And what are the two little holes supposed to be?
Poor little feller, DT.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
So this guy's stalking about Sasha Banks?
I don't know if he's stalking her or if he's trying to attempt suicide because he can't get close to her. I mean, he's really out there. So this is either like a really bad troll job for attention.
That's weird.
Or this is a guy that really needs some help. I don't know. And I've seen other posts from this. And it's kind of like, let me take a look at some of the other things he said. "I wish that before I die, I had a real woman that would just fuck me. Unfortunately, don't feel like there's any woman out there that wants to, that there's even close enough by me to want to. At least not one that isn't seeking professional gain from it. All I want is a piece of pussy. I'm a man, and I'm not ashamed to admit that. I love women, and I love the feeling of my dick inside one. I am not ashamed of that. I'm not surprised that there isn't one honest woman out there. Not one of you women is honest enough about your feelings or your bodies to be in touch with yourselves to admit this truth. Men are not accepted in this either. Men have the same feelings towards other men. I don't care who knows and doesn't know the ins and outs of Kent. I am a man. I love women and I like men too. It doesn't mean I'll have sex with men, but I do like them because they're like me. Don't ever mistake the difference. I'll kick your fucking ass if I don't like you. I don't know what to make of it.
There's a lady that lives down the block from me that's, I think, 410 pounds. Seriously. I mean, just think viscera, but like white and hasn't showered in probably 3 years. I guarantee you that if he just like sends her like an Instagram message, I'm sure she would definitely sit on him. I think, why doesn't he just go on like match.com? There's got to be whack jobs out there. Rojo Bear. What's up, Rojo Bear?
But he's throwing up like attempted suicide or something like that and trying to put it on Sasha's shoulders. Like, I don't know if he's actually stalking Sasha or if he's just making up shit in his head or if he's just doing this to elicit a response. It's very weird. It's really weird.
You got to be really, really wary of people like that because, you know, you could only imagine what they're thinking of when they're not typing on social media.
Right.
I mean, I can only imagine what his house looks like. I could only imagine.
Well, you know, I'm not going to go that far, buddy. I think that if this is a troll job, it's a next level kind of thing.
Yeah, that's scary shit.
Exposed. But if this guy really does have a mental condition, I wouldn't be surprised about that either. You know,
if I was Sasha Banks, you know, I would just, I'm sure she's had her daily dose of creeps, but that's bizarre territory. That's not even like piss shit milk guy. That guy is, dude, that's.
Doing some milk guy. Come on, let's face facts. Piss shit milk guy got shot by the cops and still kept showing up.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. Piss shit milk guy is right up there.
Joe Punches, thank you very much for the super chat. He's going to take a shower after hearing what you said. He feels dirty.
Yeah.
And he thinks he caught something.
A shower. I know.
Yeah, shower. Man, you know that's a good point that Austin brings up. Yeah. You know, you got to hope that this guy does not like figure out that Sasha Banks is married and finds out her husband's social media. Because Lord knows what he could, you know, be saying to him. And, you know, could be a lot of DMs going on that we're not even aware of. I mean, you posted that censored picture. That means that he put his penis online. Why censor it? Why
not? Somebody else censored it. No. Somebody else censored it.
Right, but why censor it? Why not report it to Twitter and get his ass off of social media?
Because that picture probably was reported, and whoever took the screenshots put the sensor on it so they could retweet that image without actually showing his penis.
I tell you, that's an interesting choice of a cartoon. It just looks like a cartoon of somebody's gallbladder. Could you put that up one more time before we go?
I sure can.
It looks like a cartoon picture of like Popeye's gallbladder. My gallbladder. Look, what is that? It looks like somebody's gallbladder. I mean, I couldn't even draw that with my... I could draw better with my toes. I mean, that's what you come up with? Back in the day, I used Samoa Joe. Remember I put the tribal cock with Samoa Joe over Titus O'Neil's peepee? You know, Titus O'Neil still has me blocked for that. I've done nothing but praise that man for the last 10 years. And he will... I mean, I'm sure he doesn't care, but ever since that accidental peepee, for people that don't know the story... Yeah, Titus O'Neil at one time posted a picture of his penis in his hand to a female, and it accidentally tweeted it instead of sending it on a DM. And it was deleted very quickly. But as you know, when something shows up on Twitter, it's never truly deleted. And I reposted it, and I put Samoa Joe when he had the tribal tattoo on his face when he was in Impact Wrestling. I don't even know why... Why, boy. What a way to close out tonight, man. But you know what? We actually are under 2 hours tonight. You know, a few minutes after 90 minutes, but we talked about some guy with cartoon whatever over his dick.
Sure.
That's
you know, it happens.
Look, for everyone out there, I had no idea Titus O'Neil was going to turn into this angel-like man. I mean, that guy is just right. An awesome, incredible man. 10, 12 years, whatever years ago that was, I mean, you know, this was just someone who accidentally posted a penis picture. It's a mistake.
Right.
But, you know, I feel bad doing it at that time. I'd never do it again, but I felt bad. I felt bad.
Yeah. So.
Anyway, Mitch, you want to close it out?
Sure, man. Yeah. I had a good time. I hope everybody else did too. Thank you very much for letting me talk with you guys tonight. Hope my comments about Tony Khan and kind of came through okay. I know sometimes people have knee-jerk reactions to the things I say, sometimes better, sometimes worse. But
yeah.
I enjoyed it. It was a good Raw overall. I'm thankful that we had a good Raw because, dear Lord, I'm so tired of boring wrestling shows. I need a little more excitement. Looking forward to NXT tomorrow night. Obviously, the fallout from Halloween Havoc. And then, of course, tomorrow, me and you get to sit down and do a little
We got Gargano and Loomis teaming up against Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes. We got Cameron Grimes entering Duke Hudson's poker room. And then they announced tonight Raul Mendoza and Joaquin Wilde versus Von Wagner and Kyle O'Reilly. Those are the three matches announced so far.
Yeah.
So.
And much love to everybody in the chat. Much love to Joe Punches. Much love to Ken. Much love to One Fall.
Don't forget.
Much love to all those guys. I appreciate that. And thank you very much to Brian Clark, Mr. Adam
Very Bob. Nice.
Probably my favorite wrestler of all time as a kid.
Very cool.
Was definitely the guy that I glommed onto. So thank you so much for that. Dude, that is going up on my wall. I sincerely thank you.
Yeah, I got this going to you also. So,
oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. The micro brawler, too. Yeah. So badass, dude. Thank you so much.
DM me your shipping address before you go to bed.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll
do.
Talk to you tomorrow, my friend.
Much love, everyone.
Okay. Take care. All right, everybody. I'm going to jet out of here because I have some editing to do, and we're already almost approaching 1 a.m. over here, and I got to get up very early. Once again, Mish creeping us all out with that. I couldn't do that on the fly. But I hope you enjoyed tonight's episode. If you would do us a solid on the way out, seriously, if you enjoyed the show, hit that like button. You know, the more you do that, even though you're only allowed once, you know, the more you all do that, the more it tells YouTube you enjoyed the show. It's amazing that we're getting closer to 22,000 like this. I mean, I think it was only 10 days ago we hit 21,000. And as I said on Saturday, you know, someone had told me like a year and a half ago that you're going to hit a certain number and you're going to get a momentum. And once that momentum starts, it ain't going to stop. And it feels like it's starting to get there. So we'll see what happens. I tell you, I liked what Darren, what did you write earlier? The Cup of Coffee Club? Was that it? The Cup of Coffee Club? I like that. I think I'm going to have to change the title on that Patreon to the Cup of Coffee Club. But, yeah, I was dead serious about that Sunday call-in. I mean, when I think about it, it either would have to be an afternoon show during the week, and I really don't want to do two shows in one day, or Tuesday or Sunday. And, you know, Sunday seems to be the more logical, but I'm going to work on it. I'll definitely keep posting in the community section here, and you keep sending me your input, and we'll put together something good. I like the sit down because that's a big mafia reference. When people used to get together for meetings, they would have what's called a sit down. So sit down with Don Tony or the sit down. I got to see if there's other shows with that name also. I don't want to copy anybody else's shit, but yeah, we'll see what happens. I'll definitely keep everybody posted. And as far as that announcement, that announcement should happen this week or next week. As far as the next level that where these shows go, I expect the contract to be sent to me within the next couple of days. And believe me when I tell you, when that contract comes over, I'll read it, make sure that there's no sneaky things in there, which I know that there isn't. I'm going to sign it, send it back, and I'm going to say, when can we tell the world, piss everybody off? I thank you all for hanging out tonight. I hope your Halloween was great for those who celebrated it. And if you're around tomorrow night, join us on Patreon. We'll be up 10:05 p.m. Eastern. And if not, I'll be here Wednesday night at 10:05, right after AEW Dynamite. Dynamite right now has Cody versus Andrade. We have Jon Moxley versus Orange Cassidy in the semifinal of the Eliminator Tournament. The winner takes on Bryan Danielson at Full Gear. And then we have Anna Jay versus Jamie Hayter in a TBS Championship Tournament match. That is what's announced so far. Not bad. Not bad. I think AEW has to continue pulling back a little bit, even if it sacrifices a little bit on the ratings. They can't be shooting all these bullets, you know, these hot pay-per-view quality matches on free TV. You know, they got to start pulling back a little bit. They need to, you know, calm down. You know, I know a lot of us, we want to be selfish and just have pay-per-view type quality Dynamites and Rampages every week. But for the longevity of AEW, they really need to, you know, just slow down a little bit. For real, for real. They could do whatever they want. But for those that really want to see them succeed in the long haul, you know, nice steady pace. I think we all agree on that. All right, everybody, have a great night. Much love as always. If you know, and listen, if you pick up one of these shirts in the Pro Wrestling Tee store, the Bomb Squad, send me a picture of you wearing it, and we'll start putting together a little collage of the Bomb Squad here, and we'll post like a little collage. We'll update it every week. And we'll put a little collage up there. Everybody who's a member of the Bomb Squad. Obviously, I would be right in the middle. Or Mitch. But, yeah. Yeah. Great night. Great Raw. Great weekend. And I'll talk to you all either tomorrow after NXT or Wednesday after Dynamite. So be well, everybody. Good night. And you all take care.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.